overflowing with love. I am overflowing with happiness. I am filled with the power to make a change. You create a brand new life. I am.
Welcome to the podcast of the Sunday Celebration from the Center of Spiritual Living in Huntsville, Alabama. We hope you feel the grace, the beauty, and the love of our community as you hear the message of the week. Have a beautiful week.
The sound of the bell. The invitation is to come home to that space of our being. Jesus called it the kingdom of heaven. And he said, seek it first. And everything is added unto you. And so when we undress the idea of the kingdom of heaven, we discover that it's a consciousness of wholeness. Ernest Holmes says it is the perception of wholeness that is all healing. And so we take guidance, not from an external, but from an internal place. There is an internal place that is already whole within all creation. And it is our challenge, our opportunity, and our responsibility to go home to that spacious field of wholeness. Rumi likened it to a field. And he says, out beyond the ideas of right thinking and wrong thinking, he says, there is a field. And when the soul lies down in that field of wholeness, that field of peace, that field of unconditional love, he says, words are really not necessary. Even the idea, each other, does not exist. And then his beautiful invitation is, I will meet you there. So we come here on Sunday mornings to meet in that field of pure awareness, in that field of unconditional love, in that field of a hidden wholeness. And when we begin to perceive from that field, all healing arises. And even in the science of mind, they say there's truly nothing to heal. There is only this wholeness to be revealed. And so on Sunday mornings at 8:30, 9:30, we have what we call a revealing service to reveal that place that's always there, waiting for us . And we come here on Sundays to remember that. All is a remembering and a forgetting. It says in the Quran, when you remember him, or it could be when you remember this divine love, well, this divine love remembers you. And so when we remember that we are embraced, that we are held, we're held in the hands of grace, forever safe in the arms of love. Well, then we've come home. All by the simple ringing of a bell. A simple act of stopping. Looking within. And smiling. There's really nothing to do. This Sunday, I'm going to be exploring what it means to see. To see with the eyes of love. To see from the consciousness of wholeness. To perceive from a realization that there's only one here. And then oneness is seeing through our eyes. No longer the local self looking at the world and saying, ain't it awful? But the divine self that sees the patterns of wholeness in the midst of the chaos. And it is our way of serving the one by finding solidarity in a consciousness that knows no other. The one life revealing herself endlessly anew, and we are that life. Well, then it's as if the ocean is waking up within the drop. It's as if the sky of mind is perceiving things no longer as a separate cloud, but the whole vast universe is waking up. And so instead of identifying as the local self, which evolves into an essential self, a spiritual self, we ultimately realize we are evolving into a universal self. And we begin to see from that place. Now, if God were looking through your eyes, what would she see? She would see herself reflected everywhere, would she not? Wheresoe'er I look, I see the face of God, because all there is God. And so then we see God in the smallest of things, in a squirrel in the tree, looking down upon us, not as an inferior species, but as one of our relations. Or we hear the bird singing to us from a tree, and we stop and we listen. And then we begin to realize that the whole universe is singing to us. But so much of the time we don't listen because we're distracted by thought patterns and belief systems. And we know beliefs aren't real because beliefs come and go, and anything that comes and goes isn't real, it's temporary. So what doesn't come and go, then we ask ourselves. I keep hearing this Sufi idea that says, when we incarnate on this planet with light and with love. And when we physically leave the planet, we take the light with us, but we leave the love behind. And so as I ponder that idea, I realize everything is vibration. It's this light within. And this month of December, we are exploring the theme, drinking from the river of light, only to realize it's all light. And when we drink from that river, we begin to embody that light. Ram Dass, early on in his career, explored psilocybin in the magic mushrooms. And he discovered on this very first encounter that he saw everything as light. Now later on, he said, I didn't need the psilocybin to realize that. But the grace of that encounter awoke the light within. And then the light within saw the light without. Just as at the very end of Ram Dass's life, his seminal work at the end was, be love now. He had evolved from being here now into the sacred eternal now, into the vibrational field of love that is all that is. And could we know and see from that place of love? So this Sunday, the invitation is to go within and to uncover, unveil, resurrect, reveal something that is so intimate and yet so universal. we trust in this journey home to show us things in a fresh way, so that we might be part of the collective consciousness that is contagioning the world with a higher order of awareness. We are the ones that we've been waiting for in this evolution of consciousness, where oneness prevails over all separation. So take an integrating breath and realize there is only one breath, and it is breathing us. It's not separate. Take another integrating breath. Anchor yourselves in this physical body that you have on loan from the universe. And when you're ready to get playful and curious and discover yet again, I invite you to open your eyes and to be here now in the eternal now moment that is courting all of us. And look around you, look at your own self. I always find that so beautiful, because wheresoever you look, you see the face of God. And if it's all the face of God, well, then that's you guys. You have to be so humble to say that. I was lying in bed this morning having these reveries of awakening. That happens every Sunday morning, I'll just have you know. And, oh, there's my beloved Pam Hurdy. I was thinking about you. I bet I get to see her in church today. And she shows up. That angel showed up on my doorstep and left some blueberry muffins the other day. And, you know, when I, and beautiful Jean Ann today made some cookies and carrot cake last week. And when I eat things like that, I'm taking in the love. The love that's always there, revealing herself. But it does require that we take it. You know, Ernest Holmes says you can have as much good on this planet that you can take. But he says you can only take what you can embody. Ooh. So could we embody? And there's something about taking a physical muffin that's made with love and taking it into your body. Your body knows that it was made with love. You know, my grandmother would come and visit, and she was a big Norwegian lady who specialized in donuts. And she would make these donuts in the lard and frying them up. But all I remember is the love that came from that donut that my grandmother made. And so what if we get to see things with new eyes? Last week I shared with you that the universe gives you exactly what you need. And I was exploring last week the life of expression, and that all life is expressing itself. Every plant, every tree, every bird, every squirrel. Anthony and Elise stopped by today to say farewell. And Anthony was reflecting when he was a little boy. He says they used to hunt squirrels where he grew up. But he says, you know, I was kind of a pacifist as a little boy. And he says, I'd look at the squirrels, and the squirrels were just so loving. And they'd look back at me. Chris knows what I'm talking about. And he was having a squirrel relationship. But he said, as soon as you pull out the guns, the squirrels were smart. They went away. And so we laughed about how, what if nature is alive with consciousness? And when we begin to see things differently, the things we look at change. Trey took me to a very disturbing movie. I wasn't going to talk about this, but I will. It's called Spencer, and it's the story of Diana Spencer at a very crucial time in her life. It's very controversial because it was at that apex of the ending of a life as the Princess of Wales, because Charles by then had already cemented his relationship with Camilla, and she was the young bride that had to somehow navigate in these turbulent royal waters. And it shows this beautiful young woman in her disturbed state. And I always love things like that, because you begin to see patterns on the energy. Here's an order. It's called the Royal Order, the House of Windsor. You bring in this new energy, this spontaneous free spirit who loved to dance and play with her children, another pacifist who embraced those that were disadvantaged. And so here you have the royal house that likes to hunt, and it's set at Christmas time. And they all go out with their rifles, and they chase the fox, and they shoot the deer. And on this particular day, they were going to shoot all the pheasants. And she has two little boys, and she doesn't want her little boys to take the guns to shoot the pheasants. And they say, this is what you do in the royal household, don't embarrass us. And you know, I kind of resonate with Diana, I always did. Because when you say don't do it, she's going to do it anyway. So she went to the pheasants, the little birds that were going to lose their lives so that they could just shoot for sport. And she started connecting with them. She started resonating with them. They were on the lap. You talk about chickens being petted. The pheasants were on her lap. And so she said, okay, if they're going to shoot the pheasants, well, then they can shoot me. So she goes running through the field with the pheasants, you know. And, well, she stopped the hunt. She stopped the hunt. Now, of course, Trey Googles it up. Did this really happen? Did this really happen? And they say they took elements of what happened. So what if we get to look at what seems to be the troubling world and see that sometimes you have to go through a troubling time for consciousness to shift and for something to awaken? And when we have the courage to look at the darkness, we can find the light right in there. It's seeing things differently. You've heard me talk about waking up, and the beautiful thing about waking up, it has many stages. There is this presence that awakens within us. You could call it love, peace, joy, the Buddha consciousness, the Christ awakening. And we've all had glimpses of that. But then there is a deeper awakening, which is awakening within, and that's where you get to face the darkness and the shadow. Pam was in my ministerial class when we did the dark side of the light chasers, and I remember when we both had to go into the basement and excavate and uncover our shadow selves. It isn't comfortable to meet your shadow self there. But the shadow self will stay in hiding until it's invited in, and that's that awakening in part, and then you get to take that insecure part, that part that doesn't have a voice. And when I see things like Diana Spencer finding her voice, it's like everyone finding their voice in a system where order predominates. And then you understand these patterns on the energy. There's the sense of order. You know, we've been raised, so many of us, in the Christian church where we were told we were born in sin. And, you know, I was talking to Anthony and Elise this morning about our upbringing in the church. And ultimately, you get to this place where, imagine no religion. I wonder if you can. And so you go from that order to a sense of disorder. Well, it doesn't make sense anymore. And then the tendency is to just walk away from everything that you thought was holy until there is a reordering that takes place, a way of looking at it differently. So Anthony and Elise are going up to Cincinnati. They're moving. And they kept concerned about my health. How are you? And I says, well, how I am is just fine. What I am experiencing is that reordering in how I see everything. I went through my 9-year cycle, and I'm entering into my first year as of last Thursday. And when you leave a 9-year cycle, you're supposed to end everything that doesn't work. And when you enter a new year, new 9-year cycle, you're supposed to embrace something that is longing to be revealed. And what I came to realize is that I am wanting to see life in a different way. I'm wanting to see things from the perception of wholeness, not from David wanting things to be different, and then using a spiritual law to make them different. You know, we have a thing called spiritual mind treatment, where you create a mental equivalent, and then you embody that mental equivalent, and the theory is then you begin to experience it in the body of your experience. But the problem with that is there's still the me person operating a spiritual law, and if you haven't really changed and shifted and evolved out of the old me, you're going to keep creating these patterns. I think the 12-step community knows what that's all about. You have to have a transformation. And when that transformation happens, well, then there's a whole different way of perceiving life. So the class I'm going to do in the new year is a class that I wasn't ready to teach years ago. It was written in 2006 by my teacher at the time, Llewellyn Von Lee, and it's called Awakening the World. And he talks about there's an existential imperative for us human species to be the way this world awakens. The whole world needs to awaken, the anima mundi, the soul of the world. And when we do our little part, well, then we can contagion the other parts, those who are willing to show up in a resonating field where we meet in a sense of oneness. But it requires that we see things with fresh eyes. Now, I wasn't there 14, 15 years ago when Llewellyn wrote this book. I didn't understand it. Now this is all I really want to explore, is how could we see through the eyes of oneness? At the very end of the book, I'll read you the last paragraph. And this is what his invitation, his challenge for all of us to do is. He says, every day, every moment, we have to say yes. We have a lovely painting by Sharon Ledford out there that's 1,000 times yes in a spiral. Every day, say yes to our beloved. Now, the beloved is the thing that we call God. It's the good, the God, the true, the beautiful that exists right there within you. Every day, say yes to the beloved and to the beloved's life. In this primal yes, we celebrate the beloved's presence in our life and the beloved in the world. It's all the beloved. We are not here to change the world, for those of you who are zealots, but we're here to experience the world through his eyes of revelation. Now, he uses the capital H. I would probably put her eyes, but to see this through God's eyes. And when you do that, there's a revelation. There's a revealing. Huh. Okay. Where am I going? Revelation. We are not here to change the world, but to experience it through the beloved's eyes of revelation. And then we will see that it is already changing. And it's already changed. And what most people imagine as a life is just the fading images of a previous era. When I watched Spencer, I realized I was watching a dead dynasty. It was so formal. You couldn't eat until the queen ate. You couldn't speak until the queen spoke. You couldn't stand until the queen stood. It was an old dynasty that was so... And Diana had lost her voice. She said to her little boys, she says, you know the tenses to her sons. They're maybe 8 and 10. There's past, present, and future. She said, here, there is no future. Here is just the past, and they made the past present. I hope you hear that. So he's saying we've got to get out of the past. Looking through a pattern of conditioning, we see that there is a dying world that is destroying itself with greed and pollution. Because we have this old mindset that it's about us and that we're here to take dominion over a planet instead of a steward of a planet. And if we don't see this planet differently as our mother, instead of as a commodity to cultivate, well, we're doomed as a species. This is what he's saying. He says, looking through the pattern of conditioning, we see a dying world that's destroying itself with greed and pollution and climate change. And through the eyes of revelation, which is what we're asked to do now, we will then see a new world that's forming amidst the shadows. Trey has Charity Navigator. We've been trying to find places to donate money when we make our transition. And I found a charity called the Pachamama Alliance. And it is to support the indigenous people on this planet who are here, and because they see oneness. They don't see dominating the planet as a way of accumulating money, but rather being stewards of the sacredness of this living organism, which is our spiritual mother, Pachamama. See it with new eyes. So here he goes on to say, this last paragraph, through your yes, we claim our right to see with the light of the new, and to experience what is being born. This new order of life is being born, and it has to happen with us. And then we can invite others in. You can't drag them. You can't drag somebody to an awakening, because people really resist awakening. They'd rather cling to what they know rather than to step into this unknown territory where someone will say, you don't even exist. All that exists is this divine love. Well, then how about me and this fierce individualism, which is what America was based on, me against the system. But there is no me. There is just this beautiful one life. And then, he says, in a moment, both so simple and yet so extraordinary, we will realize that we are what is being born. I'm 73 now, and there's a whole new David being born. Not a David that has goals and seeks to achieve things, but a David who wants to be in service to this one life that has always longed to express as him. So yes, we are the one that is being born. And in the miracle of his oneness, with a capital H, God's oneness, at the center of life that is within us, the mystery of life then happens in every moment for each and every one of us. Could we surrender to the mystery of this life revealing herself, wherever you are on that scale? Because there is only the eternal now. There is no future that you need to plan for. The future will emerge out of your quality involvement in this moment, in that blueberry muffin. Could we put all our love into that blueberry muffin and then transmit it to someone else, knowing that it is received? His last sentence is, we are the center of the circle. And remember, God is a presence whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. So we are at the center of the circle, and we are our beloved revealing herself anew. We are the beloved revealing herself anew. Could we remember that? In the Quran, it says, when you remember him, he remembers you. When you remember this divine love awakens within you. And then you hear that beautiful chant that we'd say ad nauseum in Uzbekistan. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. There is nothing but God. There is nothing but this presence. And the word Allah. And when the way you say Allah is you go, Allah. Allah means the nothingness, the vastness, the universal presence. And there's nothing but that. Now, when you remember that it's all God, then God's in the squirrels. So then you don't want to go willy-nilly shoot the squirrels. Or if you're Diana, you don't want to go and kill all the pheasants just for the sport of it. And you want to instill that in your children because you know that what they're programmed, and we understand how consciousness works. We're literally programmed by our conditioning, how we're raised. And when you get to a certain stage where the order doesn't work and you go into that chaotic disorder, and they call that spiritual adolescence, and so many of you came here as spiritual adolescents. You knew what you didn't want, but you're not ready to know what you do want. Well, then you just take one baby step after another. And I remember Pam was around when I was a brand new minister. I came through dance. Spirit awoke to me through dance. And I wanted to bring the ministry into a dance. And so we would get together and we'd dance our pain and we'd dance our anger. And in that expression, that was the waking in. We were releasing that. Dance your sadness. And in that, it gets to be met. It gets to be expressed. It gets to be revealed. I'm using this little book, Drinking from the River of Light by Mark Nepo. It's just truly profound. I was telling Terry about this early on. Terry's a painter, but he finds himself being a potter. And I said, you know, Mark Nepo talks about how we are expressions of the divine, and the divine uses us in ways we can't imagine. And so he said Michelangelo was a sculptor, and yet he was hired to paint the Sistine Chapel, which is his landmark work. If you've ever been to the Vatican, you see this beautiful thing. You probably remember that famous effigy of the finger of God reaching out to the finger of Adam, the story of creation that immortalized that. And you know what's so important about that hand reaching out, God reaching out to Adam? When you study dance, the way you learn how to do your gestures is you look at that Michelangelo painting. So here is a sculptor getting fame through his painting. And then he goes on to another one. Robert Frost was a storyteller, but his stories really never anywhere. But when he started writing poetry, the poetry took off. So who's to know how the universe is going to use you? George Bernard Shaw was a social activist in London at a time when you had a disparity between the rich and the poor. He could never make it anywhere as a social therapist, but he wrote a play called Pygmalion about Liza Doolittle, and he did more to change the status in England by just a simple play. He talks about Aldous Huxley, who was a philosopher who ended up becoming a novelist and wrote Brave New World. But as a philosopher, he wasn't making any headway. So he says, what if we are the way that this voice gets to express itself and we can't know what it's going to mean? He quotes Georgia O'Keeffe at this one little section. And he says, to see takes time, like to have a friend takes time. To really see takes time, like to have a friend takes time. And what if we're here to be friends to one another? Now, what is a friend? A friend is someone who sees the good in you and calls it forth. A friend is someone who has an unconditional respect and honoring for you when you go through your changes, your chaos. And so what if we could cultivate that time to start by being a friend with ourselves? You know, to be a friend with the one that's lost, a friend with the one that's afraid, a friend the one that's going through chaos and a new order is waiting to be evolved. Could we befriend? It starts with here and then it starts with other. So he builds this beautiful perception of wholeness in his creative way by saying, the insight is here is that each is needed to express what they saw through the instruments that they were given. At the time when my ministry was starting, I could only express it through movement. And so I started liberating the soul through dance. And I found that that was a pathway that worked for me. For Terry, it's through his beautiful pottery and maybe his painting. So the dynamic is what gives rise to the genius within us. What gives rise to the genius within you? Let me just play with it. I have so many. That lovely pillow over there is a final project from Pam Hurdy over there. And it says love. And I think the other side, it says stay away. She made it for my door in the office when I didn't want someone to come in and I wanted privacy. So most of the time I'll leave the love side out. But on the other side, it says go away with love. She's laughing. The dynamic is what gives rise to the genius within you. And I suspect that if George Bernard Shaw had expressed his social ideas in a pure social setting and writing, their potency would have been lost to the world. But you put Liza Doolittle out there and you see her struggling to become a somebody from a nobody. And he made a huge impact. And then you have My Fair Lady and God Knows, all from a man who wrote a play, who became a musical, who kind of changed the world. So, what then does it mean to see? He asked the question. It is how we apprehend reality and how we take in life. It's how you apprehend reality and how you take in life. So if you're seeing life as a problem to be solved, you still have the consciousness that it's a problem. My Zen calendar a couple of weeks ago said, there are no solutions. And then underneath it said, because there are no problems. But if you see problems everywhere, then you're going to need a problem solver. And what if you realize that this isn't a problem to be solved, but is a revelation to happen first through you, and then it starts to contagion in the world? Jody did a beautiful statement this morning about her nephew who is going through some psychological challenges. And she said, I serve him best by knowing the wholeness in the midst of what he's going through. And that is a huge perception, to hold that perception of wholeness. Our planet's going through a lot of stuff. Could we hold the perception that something is awakening? I have hope that we're going to awaken enough to save this planet by doing what's right for the environment. The very last little sentence of this thing on how to see, he says, there is an English proverb that says, the eyes are the window to the soul. And the other side of this truth is that the soul is the window to the world. Now, when we look through the eyes of the soul and we see the world with the eyes of the soul, what would we see? Would we see the sacredness of it? In fact, he says, our capacity to see is more of an inlet. It was the Buddha that says, you don't learn from experience. He said, you learn from your capacity to experience. That's a big difference. So what is your capacity to see a whole new world? What is your capacity to love beyond the finite objective self and love at a global level? What is your capacity to enter into a peace and a serenity, even when everything is chaotic and frightening out there, you could carry this consciousness of peace and wholeness right into the chaos. The capacity to see is more of an inlet, a place of exchange. It's like letting the waters of the world in while letting the waters of the soul out. You let the problem in, and then you let the solutions out, if you will, if you want to use that verbiage. You let the chaos in, and you breathe out order, and know that there's order within the chaos. Anybody ever have a chaotic life and realize that that chaos was necessary for a dramatic shift? Well, then the chaos wasn't a bad chaos. It was a necessary chaos. And we know we're in it right now on the planet. So more than anything, seeing is about receiving. And this is why stillness and quiet allow us to see and receive and to develop within us into new patterns of insight and understanding. There's that reordering again. A new pattern of insight and understanding. I've been listening to Richard Rohr's treatise on death, and it's a very disturbing but yet a very enlightening way to see the world. And he talks about these patterns of order, disorder, and reordering. But he uses more of a biblical reference. He says there's a birth, there's a death, and there's a resurrection. And he says we are at a time in our consciousness on planet Earth where we need a resurrection. We need a whole new order of being here on the planet, the Homo Universalis, the universal human. Now, how are we going to get there? He does this beautiful little thing at the end to bring insight and understanding. He said when he was a very young man, he reflects on being on a bus ride, traveling in upstate New York. And he said, I was lost. I didn't have a clue where I was. Anybody ever been there in your 20s? I think Angar knows what I'm talking about. And he's sitting in the bus and he's all confused. And a little mystical part of him started to arise. And he's looking at the trees all around him. And he says, the trees were saying, come home to me. The trees in a strange sort of way were embracing him. I remember Pam's very first talk here. She talked about a tree on the mountain. She called her the mother tree and how she was embracing her. And nobody understood that talk, but it was directly for me because I'm that one. Well, he's the same young man riding in a bus. The trees are coming to him and they're saying, come home to me. And here's what his experience. I began to see in this passing field of trees, something very subtle. I saw rooted dancers who outlive us. They were dancing in his field of perception. They were swaying, and in their swaying, they were revealing the wind that was dancing with them. They were asking for my attention. Could we stop? Could we look? And could we listen to the gospel, like Pam did in that beautiful opening talk, what the mother tree was saying to her? She was embracing her, as I remember that talk. She was holding her. He's doing the same thing. What are they saying to you? They were swaying to reveal the wind, and they were asking for my attention. And when I gave it, they began to show me how spirit moves through us to be seen in the world. When I gave the trees my attention, which is the most valuable thing you possess, they began to show me how to live on this planet in harmony and peace and love. Terry encouraged me to watch this movie on Netflix called The Fantastic Fungi, and it kind of blew my mind. It's still working on me because it talks about the intelligence underneath the soil of the microorganisms and the bacteria and how the trees are sentient beings and they care for other beings in the forest. And as I'm reflecting on this, it's asking you to see things not as separate. They say, don't see the different trees and the different plants in the forest. It's all the forest, and it's all one life. And we are all one species here. We happen to be the human species. But you know what's so fascinating in that Fantastic Fungi? They talked about Homo Neanderthal, who used to be on the planet. And we had a very small brain. But these Neanderthal ancestors of ours started eating these mushrooms. And the mushrooms started changing the synapses in their brain. And all of a sudden, now we have the capacity to reason and compassion. And Pam's son is a bioscientist. Now, where do you get a brain like that if something hadn't to inspire it? So what if we've been helped all along by our ancestor, the fungi? He says, when I gave my attention to the tree, they began to show me how spirit moves through us and how to be seen in this world. Suddenly, I was seeing all the trees. They were swaying at once, and I no longer felt alone. I felt like I was part of this community. Wow. Is that crazy? And he says, so the gift of vision is that it brings us insight, and it brings us company when we least expect it. And if we don't dismiss what we see, one of the strongest distractions from the gift of vision is our insistence on seeing what we're hoping for instead of seeing what is actually there. We project so much of what we hope to see there. And what if we don't see it? What if we see something that is there that's showing us a pattern of harmony, a pattern of interbeingness? One of my teachers along the way was a beautiful living saint called Thich Nhat Hanh. And he says, the miracle is not to walk on water, as they said Jesus did, or to walk on fire, as the big thing, fire walking. But he says, to walk on this earth where every step is a constant thank you for this incredible life that we share with this amazing planet. Well, then you begin to bow to the flowers that you see along the pathway. And you see the trees as part of your ancestors. And there's a New York Times article called The Social Life of Trees. And they talk about how the grandmother trees are literally, through their root system, they're feeding all these plants in the forest, that they care for us. Well, it's a whole different way of thinking of a tree, isn't it? Not as a commodity where you can get wood from it, but as something that is really nurturing her children. And we're all her children. Well, then you begin to see with new eyes. So the question of today is, what does it mean to see? Well, my teacher, Kennedy Schultz, would hand you the question, what does it mean to you? What does it mean to see? Are you looking for the things that you want to see, like he said? Or are you seeing things the way they are? In that beautiful treatise that Richard Rohr did about death, he said, it's imperative that we begin to see the kingdom of heaven. And he quotes Jesus's word, and he says, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is spread out upon the earth, but we don't see it. It's this consciousness of wholeness. And he says, and when you see that, when you seek it and you see it, you're literally calling it forth. And then you understand the subtle language that he used in scripture. He said, behold, I make all things new. So this power makes a whole new life here on planet earth. He says, behold, the kingdom is at hand. So what if we are the beholder, and strangely enough, we are being held by this love. And so could we see that it's everywhere, revealing herself, her wisdom, and have the insight to listen like Pam did as a young woman to a tree who said, I'm here for you and I'm holding you. Now that's the beginning of a whole new order of seeing, seeing through the eyes of the beloved. And what would the beloved see? The beloved would see her pattern, hopefully, emerging as this reordering of humanity, that we're not separate, that we're all connected in that one life. Thich Nhat Hanh had a phrase, he called it interbeing, that we're all the same being, and we're all connected, And it's awakening within us. And when you bow to the sacred that you see everywhere, you say, La ilaha illallah, there is only you. There is only you, beloved. So Terry, I'm going to ask you to go back to the mindfulness bell. He's going to be my bell ringer while Raul and Gigi are in the Dominican Republic, lying on the beach with the warm sand under their toes. And when you're ready, Terry, this is the bell of mindfulness asking us to behold. First, you start with the kingdom of heaven that's within you. Not a place that you get into, but a reality. I like to think of it as the breath within the breath. And when we return to that space that's always there, and we stop long enough to invite that awareness that by its very nature isn't filled with thoughts and beliefs, but it's an alive awareness. It's filled with insight and curiosity, a longing. That awareness is a longing. And it's the presence of life longing to reveal and express herself as us. And so we open to that creative longing of life. Maybe it longs to make blueberry muffins or to make a beautiful fabric turn into a piece of art. Maybe it longs to dance and express that creative something that Isadora Duncan felt. Maybe it longs to do pottery in such a way that it speaks a message that is luminous. And we open to that creative genius, knowing that it doesn't seek to impress the world, but rather it longs to express its uniqueness, just like Diana did. And so when you see a unique expression of that one life standing up to an order that makes no sense anymore, creating a disorder, you realize that you are in the company of a shapeshifter, someone who is taking that which has been drinking from a river of light and bringing light into the darkness. And sometimes the darkness doesn't appreciate it when the light comes on. It would rather stay in the dark. But thank God there are those who have the courage to step out into the light and speak their truth, do their dance, write their play, be who they are. And we are called to that order of being. And so we stop. We look within. And we realize that what we're seeking, we already have. It's already there. It says in the Science of Mind, the thing you're looking for is the thing you're looking with. And so then we step into that thing that's looking within ourselves. And we allow it to see through our eyes, through our heart, to see the potential and possibility of a new life giving birth first within us and then on this beautiful planet that is our own self. And so by means of this reflection, I invite you to give birth to midwife, the sacred self within you that longs to express as you. And say to this beloved intelligence of the universe, this light belongs to you. So do with it as you will. There's a word called entelechy. And the entelechy is the intelligence within an acorn that knows how to be an oak. And so there is an entelechy within the God seed of our being that knows how to give birth and reveal the God that each one of us is. The microcosm of the macrocosm. And we say yes to that. Humbly we say yes to that. And then we invite for the revelations, for the insight, for the calling. And when the calling happens, we follow Llewellyn's word yes. 1,000 times yes. When the call to dance, we say yes. 1,000 times yes. When the call to paint, yes. 1,000 times yes. When the call to bake, Jean Anne, yes. I'll bake, I'll bake, I'll bake. And in that, we are expressing that beautiful creative essence that longs to reveal herself as us. Is it this simple? I believe it is. When we see that everything is here for us, when we see through the eyes of love, we're going to see love everywhere revealed. It's Dr. Ernest Holmes that said, love sees only love, and only love sees love. So I invite you to step into that love, a love that knows no other. And join with me in the heart salutation as we say to this love that's within and all around, I honor you.
I respect you.
I love you. You are the deepest aspect of the beloved. Ever revealing herself so that we might witness you, so that we might celebrate you, so that we might glorify you in all our knowing, in all our doing, and in all our seeing. I invite you to open your eyes now. The beloved in me bows to the beloved in you, and in this place we are one. So thank you for sending in your tithes. Oh, we're having a new class. There's a sign-up sheet out there if you're interested. There's a directory here at the center. Jody Rutenberg's going to make us a new one for 2022. It's been about 10 years. And nine years. She's shaking her head. Whatever. We need a new one. And all is well. Be safe out there.
For listening to our podcast. For more information, visit our website at www.cslhuntsville.org. To create a brand new world.